Welcome to Trinity Hoyleton.
Lent is the time to reflect on the love of Jesus for us.
Thank you for joining us in worship.
Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Brett Jones. It's always a pleasure to be with you here tonight. We'll be using the service enclosed in your bulletins for our worship this evening. Please stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak together responsively the words of Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be joined in singing our hymn of response, number 912, Christ is our cornerstone. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the stone the builders rejected that has become the cornerstone. We praise you for facing the fury of your enemies. Because you overcame death itself, we will not die but live. Help us to proclaim your marvelous deeds. For you live and rule with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this evening is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They were extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Jesus began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went into another country for a long while. When the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. So he sent another servant. But they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third. This one also they wounded and cast out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When they heard this, they said, "Surely not." But he looked directly at them and said, "What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." The scribes and the chief priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he had told this parable against them, but they feared the people. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We join together in singing our sermon hymn number 531, "Hail Thou Once Despised Jesus." Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for tonight's sermon is the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 20th chapter. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are some situations in which we need to choose our words a little bit more carefully than normal. For instance, if you hear the question, "Honey, how does this dress look on me?" That's a question that has struck fear into the heart of many a male. Or, "Sir, do you know why I've pulled you over today?" Certainly a little more serious than the question about the dress, and accordingly, you should hopefully be choosing your words very carefully as you respectfully respond to the officer and tell them that, "No, sir, I wasn't really going 87 down the highway." Hopefully, anyway. And finally, on a more serious note, if you are two people, whether married or friends, who have enjoyed a long relationship and now there is a brokenness to that relationship and that needs to be reconciled, when you sit down to talk to one another, those words are carefully chosen so that you don't make the situation even worse. Now, there will be times where we find ourselves in these kind of sticky situations, and there will be times where we don't even do the right thing. But we often try to minimize the impact that our words can have on other people. All of this just reinforces how much we can marvel at Jesus for what he did in Galilee and how he did it. Jesus didn't shy away from crowds. He didn't back off from confrontation. He wasn't guided by modern concepts like political correctness or conflict avoidance. Instead, the Gospels tell us over and over again that Jesus always plainly told how things were. He even did this to large crowds gathered around the temple for Passover, as he did in tonight's gospel. Now, our reading tonight starts at verse 9, but if you back up just a little bit to verse 1, you'll hear that Jesus was already aiming what he was going to say at the chief priests and the scribes, because they had said to him, "Tell us by what authority you do these things, or who it is that gave you this authority." But they don't really want to know. They already know what Jesus is going to say. They already know that he's going to tell them that he is the Son of God. And they know that he is going to tell them that it is by the Father's authority that he does such things. He even challenged them by then, in retort, asking them a question about John the Baptist. "Was it John the Baptist who really mistook me for the Son?" That is not something you do if you are shy and looking to avoid a conflict. That is a bold and confident assertion of who you are. And that is where we find the beginning of our parable tonight. It was, as often, based on everyday experiences that would be relatable to the people there at the time. Now, the upper Jordan River Valley, and indeed much of Galilee, had farms like the ones that Jesus described in his parable. There would be rich landowners who did not actually live on the land, which can seem foreign to southern Illinois, where we usually have a farmhouse somewhere on our farm, right? But no, these owners would be far away off, and they would hire people to take care of the farm. And those people whom they hired would bring back a percentage to the owners, and then they would be able to keep a percentage of the crops as their payment for being the tenants. Now, most of the time, the owners really weren't monitoring what was going on. As long as they got kind of a steady flow of cash coming in, They weren't going and investigating the books and interviewing the tenants. No, they had other better things to do. So this led to widespread corruption, because if they're not really watching, then that makes it really easy to just skim a little bit more off of the top and then just report a little bit different number to the owners of the farm. This happened all over the ancient Near East, and just about all of Jesus' followers and also the others who were listening to the story, including the Pharisees, knew of kind of the pitfalls of this system and what was going on in the background. But his parable took it to even another level. When the owner commissions a servant to go get his percentage, what happens to the servant? He's beaten and sent away. Now, I don't know about you guys, I've read a few contracts in my life, and I have never seen "will beat and send away" in like paragraph 3, subsection A, sentence D. You don't just find that scourging through a contract. The second servant, the same. The third, even worse. They wounded him and cast him out. Why? Because all of these servants are a threat to the revenue stream. If he sends a servant in person, that servant might actually find out what's going on and report it back to the owner. And then the owner does something that, to our eyes, is almost inexplicable. He sends his son. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know how I would have the conversation with Cameron that, "Hey, son, just want to let you know. So I'm going to send you out a couple miles away. Now, the people I'm sending you to have beaten and sent away 3 other guys. So, good luck." Now, but he thinks perhaps they'll respect him. After all, the son is going to be held in much higher regard than the servant, right? But therein lies another kind of quirk of the law in the time. Because if an owner dies without leaving an heir, whoever claimed the estate, even if they're squatters, can actually receive the estate. This actually happened in Vermont like 2 weeks ago. Some squatter who was living there for 20 years got like $250,000 worth of land. So they think to themselves, "Well, we get a percent now. A percent's not bad. But all of it sounds a lot nicer, right?" So they go, and what do they do to him? What will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy the tenants and give the vineyard to others. And then Jesus looks at the chief priests. Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, not too often, I would get in trouble in the classroom when I was a kid. And there was a certain look that the teacher would give you, and you knew your goose was cooked. And I have to imagine that when Jesus looked at those chief priests, they would think, "He knows who we are." And that's when Jesus quotes Psalm 118:22 and says, "The stone that has been rejected has become the cornerstone." Now, it was just 2 days later when those chief priests sent their people to go confront Jesus and lay hands on him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And within 24 hours again, they ensured that he would be crucified. The rejection of the cornerstone was complete. But it didn't actually end up crushing the cornerstone, See, as Jesus is telling them this story, he kind of summarizes or paraphrases a common Jewish parable of the day. If a stone falls on a pot, woe to the pot. If the pot falls on a stone, woe to the pot. Either way, woe to the pot, right? Because it doesn't matter whether a large stone comes down and impacts the pot or we're the other way around and the pot impacts the stone. What's going to take the damage? The pot. Because when it comes to coming to blows, the weaker one is the one who's going to take the damage. Jesus, the cornerstone, crushed Satan and death itself as he hung on that tree. And yet, it wasn't just about the Jewish leaders in first century Palestine. It's about every time that we sin and well as well. Paul, in our epistle reading for tonight, gives us a wonderful exposition of what the Christian life looks like. A light in the light, praying without ceasing, giving thanks to the Lord, treating one another well. Surely there are times, though, when we all sneak back into the darkness and out of the light. Jesus' final steps led him to his enemies, including you and me. And those who continue to reject the cornerstone will become like that pot. Woe to them. For all of his enemies, past, present, and future, and in all other places all around the world, Jesus came to preach and make what he preached a reality. He suffered and bled for those same enemies, including you and me. And that blood washed away the sin of every one of his enemies, including you and me. That's including all the times where we find ourselves in a situation where we have to watch our words and don't. Or all the other times where we slip out of the light and back into the darkness. Every single one of those times, Jesus washes away with his blood. He is the cornerstone that grounds our lives in faith. He is the one that keeps us in that light. And he's the cornerstone of his church here in Hoyleton, in southern Illinois, all over the country, and all around the world. As a member of that church, he's your cornerstone as well. Let's keep building from that cornerstone so that your life may be a testament to that work of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, both now and into life eternal. Amen. Please stand as you are able as we sing the Magnificat through hymn number 933. Please be seated as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Please stand as you are able. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done before us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing them in the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send the light of your truth into all of the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In your mercy, strengthen newly established congregations and support them in challenging times. Make them steadfast, abounding in the work of the Lord, and let their faith and zeal for the gospel refresh and renew the witness of your people everywhere. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless the schools of the church and all colleges, universities, and centers of research, and those who teach and work in them. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in the covenant of their baptism and enable their parents to bring them up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and service, that they may show your praise in our land and in all the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let your blessing remain upon the seed time and harvest, the commerce and industry, the leisure and rest, the arts and culture of our people. Take under your special protection those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and be with all who put their hands to any useful task. Give them the just rewards for their labor and the knowledge that their work is a blessing in your sight. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Thretta, Norman, Verdell, Bill, Jim, Bessie, Brian, Ray, Daryl, Joanne, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Laureen, Bula, Carolyn, Roy, Wayne, Corey, Mike, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Brighton, Shoei, Judy, Brinley, Brent, Bill, Delmar, Ben, and all cancer patients. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God, the Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. Please be seated as we sing our departing hymn, number 451, Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted.
Thank you for joining us in worship today.
We hope to see you next week. Have a blessed week.